Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us here. That's much better. All right, welcome. Welcome to Faith Fellowship. Welcome all you people in Facebook land and our crowd here that just dwindled for some reason. I guess they're all going back to get a cup of coffee or something. We're pretty casual here at Faith Fellowship, so come out and join us if you can. At 1002 South College in Tahlequah. Amen. All right. So this morning we're going to talk about faith in His name. And we're not talking about faith in the name of Trump. We're not talking about faith in the name of the governor or senators. We are talking about faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. For God has given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles or you want to follow along, I've got it on the screen here. Acts chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And that would, you know, be the ninth hour from like midnight, so 9 in the morning, and, that's not right, that's in the evening, right, the ninth hour from 6 a.m., so, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that are into the temple. So Peter and John are on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there's this man there at the gate, which is begging for money, which is not uncommon for people who are poor to find a place to beg. We have them today with their little signs, you know, out at the red lights. And Peter and John, about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastened his eyes on him with John and said, "Look on us." Amen. You know, as the Church of the Living God through Jesus Christ, we need to be saying to the world out there, look on us. Amen. And that doesn't mean that we are better than them. It means we have the answer. Amen. It means we have the power. It means that we are the ones that can help them in a way that the rest of the world cannot, because Christ in me is the hope of glory. Amen. And so they say, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, what Peter experienced here was something that we call the gift of faith. Amen. The gift of faith is something that comes from God. It's not something I have, that I exercise. Now, you may pray for someone and you may grab them by the hand and yank them up and you let go and they fall back down. So it works in conjunction. It's not just the name of Jesus. It's faith in the name. Amen. And so he has this gift of faith. He grabs him by the right hand, yanks him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He went walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, if you were healed, if you were crippled, if you'd been sitting there day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and all of a sudden God healed you, you wouldn't be going in there acting all religious and sanctified. You'd be walking and leaping and praising God, and that's what he did. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat for alms, at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Wonder and amazement. Like, oh my gosh, that's that guy. What happened? Right? So that's what wonder and amazement, in case you weren't sure. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, so he's not letting these guys go. He's hooked arms, elbows with them or something. He's holding on to them, and he's dancing between them and shouting. You know, it's not a dignified Church of Christ service. It's like a Pentecostal service. This man is making some noise. And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel." Now Peter gets to preach. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus three times, but you know, in the previous chapter, we see that he was with the other 119, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost. We need the Ghost, the Holy Ghost, right? Sean had a song about that this morning. And so he's changed by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so now he's not the timid, denying Jesus preacher. He's the bold preacher. And so Peter, he sees this, and he recognizes, this is my chance to preach Jesus, you know. That's why God gives us healings. He says, these signs will follow them that believe. And the signs are to give us an opportunity to point people to Jesus. Not to us, not to the miracles, but to Jesus. And so Peter saw it, and he answers to the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look on us so earnestly as though through our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." In other words, he just thought he'd get that little jab in, you know. Pilate was going to let him go, but no, you guys, you condemned him to be crucified. And you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted to you instead. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And so, as I said, I want to speak a little bit this morning about faith in his name. He said, in his name, we're talking about the name of Jesus, not just his name, but through faith in his name, it made this man whole. And you know, when we pray for people, we don't pray in the name of Faith Fellowship Church. We don't pray in the name of the churches of Tahlequah. We don't pray in the name of Pastor Roger or anybody in here. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Because we recognize that in his name, through faith in his name, healing comes, amen. And I still believe that God is still in the miracle working business. I believe he's in the healing business. I believe he can make people whole. And when we say make people whole, we're not just talking about physical wholeness. There's as many people, if not more, that have mental problems. They have depression. They have discouragement. They have fear. They have all these isms. But in his name, through faith in his name, that man, that woman can be made whole as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, few verses about that name. Isaiah told us so long ago, thousands of years or about, I think it was about 800, 900 years actually before Jesus was born when Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful." And so first of all, we know the name of Jesus isn't just the name Jesus, it's something that's wonderful. God gave Jesus this special name. It's actually Yeshua, where we get the word Joshua, which means God is salvation. But we don't speak Hebrew. It's okay if you want to speak Hebrew. I speak English. And the English translation from the Greek word is, we say Jesus. So God knows who we're talking about. He's like, "No, you're not saying it right." I just say Jesus, okay? If you want to say something else, you can say something else. But the point is, God knows the name. It's a wonderful name. I said it's a wonderful name. Isaiah said the government's going to be in his shoulders and his name's going to be Wonderful. And when I say that name of Jesus, I feel the wonder of God come into the room. Jesus, Jesus, it's wonderful. Amen. And he's a counselor. He's the counselor. You know, when I need counseling, I don't go to Brother Big Bottom in his office with the couch. I go to Jesus. Amen? Because he's a counselor. And he knows exactly what I need. And I go to him and I take my burdens to the Lord and I leave them there. He's a counselor. And he said his name will be the Mighty God. You know, God uses Jesus. Anytime you see in the Old Testament the right arm, or you save with your right arm, that's God's right arm. Jesus is God's right arm. Amen. You know, when we do things, if you're right-handed, now a few of you are left, and that's okay. My father was left-handed, but you know, you're driving nails with a hammer. You're using that dominant arm, right? And that's how God does everything. He does it by and through Jesus Christ. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, I love that title, don't you? The Prince of Peace. He's not the Prince of Confusion. And if you're going through confusion, that's not of God. Amen? You need to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm confused, and let the Prince of Peace bring peace in your life. In Luke 1:31, of course, the angel told Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, all in capital letters, meaning that, again, God saves. Amen? Yeshua, Jesus. And then we get to Philippians. Most of us can quote Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and of things in heaven, of things of earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if you've met a skeptic, if you've met an atheist, if you've met an agnostic, you know, that's okay. You can't save them, and you can't change their minds. But one day their mind will be changed, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Every tongue, every knee. Now, I got to tell you a story about a dream I had years ago. I dreamed of a bathtub. This is the strangest dream I've ever had. We all know what bathtubs look like. And how many of you guys have ever seen those little daisy stickers they put on them to keep you from sliding, right? So this bathtub had something to keep you from sliding, but it wasn't daisy stickers. It was words. And there were so many of them. And I'm looking at the bathtub at an angle. You know how when Star Wars starts and you see all those words going back to the distance, right? That's what the bathtub looked like. There was too many words for me to make. It was just lines, all these lines of text on the bottom of the bathtub. And I didn't know what it said, and I said, Lord, what does that say? And the Lord said, it says he will bow his knee at Jezreel. Now, at that time, I knew the word Jezreel was in the Bible. I really didn't know what it was. And, of course, Hosea the prophet was told to marry this woman, and they had kids, and one of them was named Jezreel. But there's also a geographical place called Jezreel. It's that area where Jezebel overlooked the valley, which is the same valley, Jezreel, where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And so when he said he will bow his knee at Jezreel, I don't know who the he is, but I think he was referring to the Antichrist, because that's where all the armies of the world will meet to go battle, and that's where the Antichrist's headquarters will be, leading up to what we call the Battle of Armageddon. Amen? And so even the Antichrist, when Jesus returns, and Jesus comes into the Eastern Gate, and he's in the Valley of Megiddo, adjacent to Jezreel, I believe the Holy Spirit told me about that day and that hour when the man of sin, who will, the Christians who are converted during the tribulation or left behind, will all be slaughtered. They call them the tribulation saints, beheaded. And this man of sin will have to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. And so don't let the devil intimidate you. He too will bow his knee to the name of Jesus, to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when we talk about the name of Jesus, we should use it in our preaching. And I say our preaching because I'm not the only preacher here. Man, I got a church full of preachers here. Amen. I got a church full of preachers. I do. And in Luke 24:47, Jesus tells us that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So we are to preach in the name of Jesus. We are to preach, you need to repent in Jesus' name. Amen. Because apart from Jesus' name, your repentance means nothing, does it? That we go through the cross. And in our prayers, Jesus said, whatever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified the Son. So we pray in the name of Jesus. We don't just preach in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. And it is at the center of our salvation. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you will have life through his what? Through his name. Amen. We have life through his name. Now, I want to take you back to the Old Testament a little bit. I debated on what to call this sermon. My first thought was calling it the Rod of God. And then it was faith in his name. And I'll explain that why. We're going to look at the Exodus this morning in Exodus 14. Most of us know the story, you know. Joseph was sold into slavery, rose to be the prince of Egypt, brought his family there. They begin to multiply. There arose another Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and he began to be a heavy taskmaster. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord, and finally God sent him a deliverer named Moses. And then Moses, after all the plagues, finally they let Israel go, and they're marching out, and God takes them down a left turn. Don't be shocked if God takes you down what seems to be a dead-end alley. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. Amen. And so if you've ever looked at the geography of the land, there was a direct route to Midian around this little leg of water that came up called the Red Sea. And if they had just kept going straight, they would have went around that and came to Midian. But instead, God tells Moses to hang a ride here, and they go in this dried up riverbed that winds through all these mountains and comes out at the Red Sea, right? And so Pharaoh and his army, he changes his mind. You know the story. He's coming behind them, and they see the cloud of dust. Oh, no, here comes Pharaoh and his chariots and his armor, and these guys all have helmets, and they have shields, and they have swords, and these people all have their goats with them, and that's about it. And they do have a bunch of gold. And so you've got the ocean in front of them, and you've got Pharaoh's army behind them. And when Pharaoh drew nigh to the children of Israel, and they lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? In other words, why in the world did you take us out of Egypt just to die out here? And, you know, sometimes the devil will do that to me and you. He will say, you know, you should have just kept your mouth shut. Or you should have just done that. Or you should have just done this, you know. And now look at the mess you're in, you know. I'm glad that I've been in a mess for Jesus before. Because every time I put my faith in works, I mean my faith in action, right, then sometimes I get myself in a mess. But there is no mess stepping out for Jesus that you'll ever get in that God can't deliver you. Amen? And so they turn on Moses, poor Moses, and they begin to complain. And they say, is this not the word that which we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. I got news for you watching on Facebook. You're not going to die. You're going to be delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. Amen. Do you know how long forever is? It's forever, amen. Your enemies are going to be buried in Jesus' name. your enemy of depression, your enemy of a toothache, your enemy of fear, your enemy of doubt is going to be buried under the ocean in Jesus' name, because we have that matchless name to use. Amen? Praise God. All right, so verse 14, and the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Just shut up and watch, in other words. Just go ahead and just calm down and just stand still. You know, sometimes that's the biggest problem that we Christians have. We want to help God out instead of just standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. Just be patient, wait, and watch what God does. Amen? I said just be patient and stand still and watch what God does. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord said to Moses, and of course, we assume that Moses then cried out to the Lord, because the Lord says, why are you crying to me? Don't you love those things? You know, when the apostles came to Jesus and said, you know, there's 5,000 people here. You need to send them home. They're hungry. And Jesus said, you feed them. You know, sometimes we're wanting God to do something, and he's wanting for us to do something. Amen. Sometimes we expect God to do everything, and God's already done everything he's going to do. Everything else that happens in this world is going to happen through you and me in the name of Jesus. Not just through you and me, but you and me in the name of Jesus. It's going to happen. And so God says to him, why are you crying to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Well, where are they going to go? There's an ocean there. I said, there's an ocean there. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Now, he's not saying I'm going to divide it. He's saying lift up your rod and stretch out your hand and you divide it. Amen? That's what he's telling Moses. You divide it. We say God parted the Red Sea. No, Moses did it through God. If Moses hadn't lifted his rod up and hadn't held out his hands, they'd been in trouble. If Moses said, well, Lord, I don't really feel called to that ministry. You know, maybe let somebody else do that. That's just not my calling, Lord. I'm meddling now. You know? So lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel will go over on dry ground through the middle of the sea. And so what did Moses do? And then he said, and behold, I'll harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they'll follow you, and I'll get me honor over Pharaoh and upon his host and upon the chariots, upon the horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten my honor upon Pharaoh and upon the chariots and upon the horsemen. And so it's always about giving God the glory. Amen. It's not about me getting the glory or you getting the glory. It's not about someone saying, hey, did you hear what Brother Roger did? Hey, did you hear what happened at Faith Fellowship Church? You know, I was thinking about revivals this morning while I was running around making coffee and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people, they want revival, but they don't want to pray the price of revival. You know, the Azusa Revival in California started in a livery stable. You know what that means? There was animals there. And you know how that smells. That's where great revivals happen. Amen? And we say, well, I say, oh, I wish we had better carpet. You know what? We're pretty good compared to a livery stable, aren't we? You know, so we got a lot to be thankful. But you know, and Brother Seymour up in Kansas, I think it was in Kansas, that revival up there, and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit around the turn of the century. He would stick his head in one of those little milk crates that the bottles of milk were in. You know, humility is how revival happens. And so it's all about God getting the glory, not you being seen or not you being heard. It's about God getting the glory. And so the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And so this is to block Pharaoh's army so they can go ahead and get through. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other side. So this cloud is darkness to the Egyptians, and it's light to the Israelites. That's kind of quite a cloud, isn't it? And so they're so that they can go through it. Now here it is. Okay, he's told what to do, but now Moses stretches out his hands. Of course, one of the hands has the rod in it, over the sea. And the Lord causes the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Okay? Now, I told you I kind of wanted to call this title, instead of faith in his name, the rod of God. Because the name of Jesus, in his name, by faith in his name, is the rod of God. Amen? And so, if we think about old Moses walking through the desert with that rod, you know, he may have forgot a lot of things. I don't think he had dentures. I think he was probably in pretty good health. But if he did have dentures, he might forget them. But I guarantee he never forgot that rod. Because remember, when he was first going to go to Pharaoh, he said, "What's in your hand?" This old shepherd's rod. "Well, throw it down." What did it do? It became a serpent. Take it up by the tail. Became a rod again. This is his power to rule as the ruler and the deliverer of Israel in the face of Pharaoh, who is a type of the enemy, type of the devil. And so we don't have a rod. We have the name of Jesus. And we need to take that name with us wherever we go, the way Moses took that rod with him wherever he went. Amen? And so when we're out there in the world and the devil is breathing his hot breath down our neck, and you're hearing bad reports about family members, or you're going through discouragement or depression, we have a name that's above every name, that is the mighty rod of God. And just as Moses carried that rod, we carry that name proudly, and we square our shoulders and we look the devil in the eye and we say, "Jesus said, get thee behind me." Amen. Jesus said, "I can do all things through Christ." Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "And by no means shall anything hurt you." Jesus said, "You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." Jesus said to Peter, "Just keep your eyes on me and we'll just walk on water a little while." Amen. We can do it in the name of Jesus. We have the rod of God. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. And so he stretches out his hands over the sea. The strong winds blow. The land is dry, and the waters are divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were walls to them on the right hand and on the left hand. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. You know, he can cause trouble with your enemies. Amen. And he took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Aren't you glad that you don't have to fight your own fights? Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to fight your own fights? You know, when King Hezekiah was in trouble, no, Jehoshaphat was in trouble, he said, "Stand still, just praise the Lord and stand still and see the salvation of God." And they didn't go into the enemy with weapons, they went in with praise. And when we begin to praise the name of Jesus, the wheels of our enemies are going to fall off. Amen. They're not going to accomplish what they're wanting to accomplish in your life. God is going to give you victory. And so they wanted to flee. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand." What's in his hand? The rod of God, right? Stretch that rod out. Use that name of Jesus. Amen. "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horses." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the hosts of Pharaoh. And there came to the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. You know, I have seen the documentary of where they crossed, and I believe it's accurate. There actually is a land bridge. It's still several miles deep, or still several hundred feet deep, maybe not a mile, but it's almost like a little land bridge right there. And they have found, covered in coral, wheels, down there on the bottom of that floor. It is so amazing to see this. And, of course, they don't want that to come out, obviously. But I believe they've actually found the place. And those wheels are covered in coral, and they're still there. Now, I don't know where the bones of the Egyptians are, probably buried in the sand under there. But the Bible is true, and you can take it to the bank. And so not so much of one of them remained there. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and the hosts of Pharaoh came to the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. And the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand. How did that get there? Did I go backwards? And the Lord saved Israel. There we go. Out of the land of Egypt, Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. Now, for you and I, again, the name of Jesus is our rod, the rod of God. And when the children of Israel saw the victory, one of the things that often will hinder our future victories is not really taking time to give God the glory. Amen. And after this incident happened, the enemy's goal, you know, they said, we'll pursue, we'll overtake, we'll divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied on them, and I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. And this is the goal of the enemy. This is the goal of the devil. He wants to destroy you. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's got you in his crosshairs of his big guns of hell. And I'm not trying to make you not sleep at night. I'm just letting you know this is the score. Amen. And so you can't sit on the sideline. You can't just be a pew warmer or a chair warmer. You've got to get in the fight. And if you're going to be in the fight, you want to win the fight. Amen. And I'm here to tell you how to win the fight. It's through the name of Jesus Christ. And so in this psalm, this little song of Miriam, in the following chapter, she said the enemy was going to pursue, he was going to overtake, he was going to divide, his lust was going to be satisfied on him. And she said, but you did blow with the wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. They sank as lead. And then she says, who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. Amen. And you know, if we begin to invoke that name of Jesus, and not just the name of Jesus, but faith in the name, then we can say, as Miriam said, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. I want to see God heal the sick. I want to see God make lame people walk again. Don't you? I want to see the Bible days here and now. And I believe that if we can begin to grasp a fresh wind and the fresh fire of God in our lives, we can begin to really take what God said in his word as truth and have faith in the name of Jesus as our rod, that I believe we can see miracles in these last days. I believe we can be instruments of God. You know, when we say, oh, Lord, I wish you, and God is saying, why don't you do something about it? What do I got? You've got the rod of God. You've got the name of Jesus. Start invoking that name by faith. Start squaring your shoulders and believing that in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. In the name of Jesus, cancer has to bow. In the name of Jesus, fear has to bow. In the name of Jesus, apathy has to bow. And start using your rod of God as Moses did, and watch God part the way in your life. Amen. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders in our midst. Praise the Lord. He says, you stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy has led forth the people which you've redeemed. You've guided them in your strength into your holy habitation. And some people may say, well, that's good for preachers, but, you know, I have impure thoughts, or I get angry sometimes, or I hit my thumb and I say something I shouldn't, you know. He said, in your mercy, you let them forth. You don't have to be perfect to use the name of Jesus. because God gives you that out of mercy. If he waited for us all to be perfect, nobody could use the name, right? And so grab your rod. Don't listen to the lies of the devil, even if you're not perfect. And start having faith in the name of Jesus and watch what God can do. Amen. And so the name of Jesus is the rod of God. And Acts 3:16, everybody can quote John 3:16. I give you homework. Memorize Acts 3:16 this week, even if you just remember this first part. And in his name, say it with me, through faith in his name, now put your hand on your heart, and if you're a woman, you can change it to woman, has made this man strong. And so this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive strength over our man, over our body, over you women, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are never going to be the same again. We're not going to wait for somebody else to do it. We're not going to wait and cry to you, why aren't you doing something? We're going to pick up the rod of God, the name of Jesus, and by faith in that name, we're going to be whole. We're going to do wonders, glorious wonders, in Jesus' name. And if you're watching by faith, Facebook right now, doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, this same Jesus has the power to save you, to heal you, and to deliver you. In his name, by faith in his name, you can be saved, you can be made whole. You just need to believe. Amen. And so, Lord, we just ask that you bless everyone here at Faith Fellowship, those watching. May this be a day of new beginnings for people as they begin to identify with old Moses, with the army behind them and the sea before them. Whatever is pressing you in this morning, you have something in your hand, in your repertoire. You have the name of Jesus, and you can do exploits through that name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming.